Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
But one thing we do tend to neglect is whether we're getting the best deal on our mobile phone account. I think there's absolutely a lot of people out there definitely paying way more than they need to be. Ciara O'Brien, tech journalist with the Irish Times, joins me now. Good afternoon, Ciara.
Good afternoon.
So, Ciara, Sky have entered the mobile market here now, we saw during the week. Will that make any difference to consumers?
I think it will. Look, more competition is always a good thing. And the problem with the mobile market is before we had these virtual operators, which Sky is where they use somebody else's network, but they offer the service directly to customers.
Okay.
Before we had these guys, what was happening was there was a huge cost to get into the market. Every network had their own kind of infrastructure. They had their own masts. And we're kind of getting to the point now where there are plenty of these mobile virtual network operators. They are offering the services to consumers. So you would pay Sky, you would pay Virgin Media, you would pay 48, you would pay GOMO rather than paying the traditional operators. And then they basically rent the network space off these guys. They do deals with them. So you get the security of the network that's already there, but probably at a bit of a discount to what you might expect.
Okay, so when it comes to mobile phones, do people tend to just stay with the same provider because it seems like too much hassle to change, yeah?
I think they do. And look, you kind of get used to the security of the service. So you know that you've got network coverage in certain places. And because this is the problem, you know, if you go to a different part of the country, you might have spottier coverage because your particular network doesn't have an awful lot of coverage in that area. And I think we're getting to the point of, though, the network coverage is quite good all over the country. There are still black spots, don't get me wrong. I mean, we have access to a house down in Wexford. My parents have a house down there that, you know, when you go down there, there's one spot in the house where you can get 4G. And the rest of the time you're on 3G, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but actually when you've been used to having kind of high speed internet everywhere, all of a sudden, you know, the phone calls are dropping and, you know, you can't get text messages for hours because it doesn't work as well. So I think, you know, we're in a good place with network coverage for the most part. If you're in urban areas and suburban areas around cities and towns, excellent. When you go to rural Ireland, it's a bit more of a hit and miss kind of thing.
And so if you are looking at changing, you should check coverage as an
coverage,
issue.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a place you
that
can check that, isn't
thing.
There?
There is. Look, all the networks will have their own coverage maps, but ComReg, which is the communications regulator, have a coverage map that shows you which areas have 2G, 3G, 4G coverage. They break it down by the different network providers, including these MVNOs. So you can see where Sky has coverage, where 48 has coverage, where GOMO has coverage. And you can make your decision based on that. If you're mostly in kind of towns and urban areas, you're sorted. But as I said, when you go outside of the kind of densely populated areas, or you're somewhere, say, where there is hills and valleys, and, you know, that's where you start to run into a bit of trouble.
Yeah, it's in the summer when people decamp down the country that Dublin people realise, oh my God, my mobile phone's not out of coverage. Yeah, that map is brilliant, actually, because it's really simple. It's so simple to use, and people will be put off by the idea of it. It's so simple, and it's so simple to zoom in on an area. So, okay, so then, in terms of how much data we need, like, I just assume now that any all-you-can-eat so-called unlimited data on all the packages is going to be enough. Is it? Am I wrong?
Oh, gotcha. No, for the most part, what you need to do is check the fine print and make sure there's not a cap. Some plans will still have a cap, like a fair use kind of limit on how much data you can actually use. Now, they're usually huge. You would have to be streaming kind of high definition or 4K videos practically constantly to hit them. For the most part, they kind of went by the wayside when COVID happened because everybody was using so much data. And we are now using an awful lot more data than we were before. Because if you notice now, like SMSs, we used to send a lot of text messages. We used to use regular voice minutes. That's kind of gone out the window. Most people ring over WhatsApp or send messages over WhatsApp or use FaceTime audio and send iMessages to each other, which would use the data network rather than your voice minutes. So really what you need to be looking at is how much data you're going to get. Is it really unlimited? And if you don't need unlimited data, there's no point in paying for it. But to be honest, at this point, those plans are so cheap. We're actually quite lucky in Ireland that mobile plans are relatively cheap compared to what you would get in other countries. I mean, you can get away with, if you don't need a phone, which is the other thing that mm-hmm. you have to think about,
yeah.
if you don't need to buy a handset, you can get an all-you-can-eat kind of SIM package for under €20. And that's all your data in Ireland. That's all your calls, all your text messages to Irish numbers, obviously. Now, where you have to be careful is when you go abroad, because while you do have roam like home in Europe, that's usually capped. Now, it's several gigs of data, you know, that they before you actually start getting into incurring extra charges. But if you go somewhere that's outside of that, like, say, the US, that's where you can run into serious bill shock if you just use your phone the way you would at home. Because while you're used to just, you know, turning data on for everything, mobile data on for everything, it's only when you go somewhere else and you realize that this is actually your phone, all these apps that are working in the background are using data all the time. And that can actually add up. Like, there might only be a little bit at a time, but it can add up. If you're on a week's holiday or a 2 weeks holiday somewhere like the States, that is going to add up if you're constantly using mobile data. And I've heard of people coming home with bills of well over €1,000.
I thought those days were gone. Remember, people would get those ridiculous bills when they'd come home from somewhere. That's still going on, yeah?
Well, only when you go to these third countries that are outside of the EU. But what happens is they do offer, a lot of the networks will offer packages, so you'll get so many megabytes of data a day. And then after that, you start getting charged per megabyte that you use. And that's where things start to add up. As well as that, when people just kind of randomly accept without really reading the message, you know, if they just kind of click yes and off it goes, you know, that they might not realise what they've actually just opted themselves into, which is, you know, constant data in the background.
And the one thing you can do there is turn off your data when you're, say, if you're in America or whatever, so that when you go into a Wi-Fi area, then you do all
yes.
the data stuff or whatever.
You can do that.
And you have another suggestion as well about
yes,
getting a local SIM.
When I do, you can get a local SIM, and a lot of the new phones now that come out have what's called eSIMs on it, which is basically a virtual SIM, that software that sits on the phone. And what I do is, sitting on a plane, before I get off the plane, if I'm using the Wi-Fi network, either on the plane or when I get into the airport, is sign up to a local eSIM plan for data, because most people are not going to be bothered about making calls. As I said, you know, we've kind of moved away from that anyway. Most people are going to want to use their maps. They're going to want to send WhatsApp messages. They're going to want to call people on WhatsApp. So what I do is I use a website called Holafly. It's HOLAFLY. They offer kind of data plans by the day. So if I'm there for a week, I'll pay maybe $23, about €20. If I'm there for a couple of days, it might only be €10. So you pay for by the day, and that's unlimited data, and it's 4G data. So no matter where I am, I have access to my email, I have access to my messages, I have access to my maps, and I don't have to worry about losing
yes.
that, because I can't find a Wi-Fi network, you know, within a few feet of me.
Okay, now you're a tech journalist. Are people going to find it, is it easy and intuitive to be able to do that?
It is very easy. As I said, once your phone accepts eSIM, so that's the first thing to check. Is my phone compatible with eSIMs? Otherwise, you'll have to buy a SIM over there. And, you know, they sell them at the airport. It's not as difficult as you might think. But the eSIM itself, they send you instructions how to install it on email as soon as you buy it. So it's very easy to install. It walks you through it step by step. And like, even if you've very little technical knowledge, it's easy enough to set up.
Okay, that sounds like a brilliant idea and a bit of peace of mind. And as well, if there's teenagers or anything, it's probably a wise plan if you're going somewhere outside Europe.
Exactly.
So you mentioned that data then that you get on the eSIM would be 4G. You were saying earlier about going to Wexford and you might be on 3G sometimes. So the push now is to get people onto 5G, and I think some of them are offering it like at a slightly more expensive price. Like, do we need 5G, or what's the difference from 4G, or what's going on?
Well, I'll be honest here now. I am not on a 5G plan because I just, at the moment, I don't see the value in it. It was different with 4G. There was a noticeable jump between the quality of the 3G and the 4G networks. 4G to 5G is more about getting things online. So your connected cars, if you're a gamer, it's faster data. And I think at this point, you know, a lot of people, if you've access to 4G, the data there is reasonably fast for most things you want to do. I mean, I can stream videos on 4G. If I do it on 5G, it's going to be slightly faster. I mean, you might get the odd interruption with 4G. It's rare, though. But the real benefit for 5G is that it's going to connect all the things rather than all the people. 4G was about people and services.
Okay.
5G is about things and services. So I don't really see the need, unless you know, unless your network coverage is very bad, and the 5G might actually boost you up a little bit. I don't see the real need to be jumping into 5G at the moment. I think at some point everybody will be moved on to 5G. But at the moment, it's like what happened with 4G. At the start, when they launched 4G, 4G plans cost extra. And then eventually they just offered them a standard. So to be honest, I'm holding off until they just decide to upgrade everybody to 5G, because I don't really need it at the moment. And as I said, I don't really see, unless you're doing a lot of gaming on the move or it's Grand. Your sole kind of internet connection at home.
Okay.
Then I don't see the need.
Okay. So now, you mentioned earlier if you have a phone already, right? So
yes.
Most people probably don't think about switching their phones. Then they run out of contract. But then what happens is they're told, oh, you've got an upgrade coming. When they ring to try and cancel, oh, you've an upgrade coming. And it's very attractive. Like, we all like new shiny things and everything. But like, do we need new phones all the time anymore?
Not necessarily. So if your phone is a couple of years old, there's a good chance that you actually don't need to upgrade it at all. And the thing is, I always hear people talking about their free upgrades. Those upgrades are not free. You are paying for them. You are just paying for them spread out over the lifetime of the contract that you sign up to. So if you have a phone that is still in good working order and you don't really need to change, you don't really feel the need to change, don't be seduced by the upgrade, because you're going to pay for that phone. And actually what you can do then is you can get a cheaper plan if you just have the phone. So at the moment you can get SIM only plans, which would be about €15 a month, depending on the network operator. Obviously they all have their own offerings. If you take a phone, then you'll see, actually, if you look up the same plan with a phone, you'll see the price difference. So you can see what you're paying. You can see that there's already a €20 premium on top of that. So you add that up over the cost of the plan, and that's actually what you're paying for your so-called free upgrade. So if you have a phone that is still in working order and you really don't need to change it, you can actually go to whatever network you want that offers, say, a 30-day SIM-only plan, and you can save yourself a bundle of money. And the thing is that the mobile companies who are making these phones are now making them sturdier. They're making them so that, you know, that they last longer. And
the differences are incremental, more and more incremental at this stage, really,
exactly.
Aren't they? Yeah.
We are not at the point where, you know, the iPhone 15 and the iPhone 16 are miles apart in terms of what they do. Even the iPhone 14 and the iPhone 16 are not miles apart, because people want a good camera, they want a decent screen, they want a decent battery. And the thing is, if you have like a four-year-old phone that's still supported by software upgrades, because they are being supported, because that's the thing that people don't think about, is that how long is my phone going to get up, going to get software updates and security updates? Most of them now are between 5 and 7 years. So if you can keep your phone in good working order, and you can, you know, you can make a few repairs, like you can put a new battery in for cheaply enough. I mean, that's far less than what you're going to pay for a new phone. And, you know, people are becoming more economic or eco-friendly and kind of environmentally
conscious. Totally, like, it's way
conscious.
More sustainable as well, because phones are, they're carnage for some of the stuff they mine to make phones and everything else like that. So the key there is, like, keep your phone going and get this. There's amazing SIM-only options out there that we won't get it bogged down in all the different deals, but there are really great deals there. So what about buying a refurbished phone? I think people feel a bit kind of slightly kind of nervous about it.
They are, and look, I mean, with good reason, I suppose. In the past, you didn't have, you know, if you're buying a refurbished phone or a secondhand phone, it was usually from somebody rather than from a business. Now, there are businesses set up now specifically dealing with refurbished technology, and the devices are either refurbished by the company themselves or they are refurbished by one of their partners. So they're up to a certain standard. And I think what people don't realize is there is protection. You still have protection as a consumer if you buy from a business rather than, say, a private seller. So if you're buying from the likes of Swappy or Refurbed or CEX, there is, you have protections. It still has to be, you know, fit for purpose. So it has to fit all of those consumer protections. Now, the caveat is, obviously, these are refurbished phones. So if it says, you know, there's minor cosmetic damage, it has the odd scratch here and there, you can't complain that it has the odd scratch.
Yeah, you put a case on it, I think, is the answer there, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but it has to work. And, you know, you'll get your warranty. And most of these companies will now offer a 6-month to a 1-year warranty of their own. But you are still covered by an EU kind of electronics warranty as well. So, you know, if something happens within the year, if it drastically breaks and it shouldn't have, you know, you can actually, you do have some sort of recourse. So it is worth looking at refurbished technology because they can actually be significantly cheaper than buying the equivalent device new. And as I said, you know, they're refurbished to a certain standard and the price will reflect that.
Okay. Ciara O'Brien, that was fantastic. That's the best bunch of practical advice now I've heard in a while. Thank you very much for that.